Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Fella.
My man, welcome back.
Mexico City.
Thank
welcome
you.
Welcome back. If anyone's welcome anyone back, I'm welcoming you back. Like, hey, Kyle Morgan, let's all welcome Uppy back here.
Thank you guys. Welcome back, Uppy.
Up dog.
You know what? If we're staying in one place too long, we're not fully fulfilling our duties here at Missing Curfew, are we?
I gotta be honest. I kind of like my shot when you're not here, right? I got the whole studio. I feel like it's just my sanctuary here.
I know. No, it looked good, Kyle. Yeah, good. Great job, guys. By the way.
Yeah. See, we got the new little Missing Curfew sign up there behind Guy Bear and Tamo Solani. We got that sign. I mean, it's looking really.
Christ,
looking
Guy Bear makes our set, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's, I don't know how that got there.
Gee, you're welcome, bud. Maybe a free round at Shady Canyon on the boys.
I don't know how that got there. But Up Dog, welcome back, buddy. In all seriousness, good to have you back here. Let's get right into it. Mexico City for me, man. You've never been, right?
I have not.
Yeah.
No.
It is, listen, if you can't speak Spanish, though, it's like when I left the Ritz-Carlton, the English stopped right there at the Ritz. Like it's really a lot of Spanish, but what a beautiful city. Hey, listen, A, a lot cleaner than I thought. B, I felt safer there than I feel like when I'm in downtown Los Angeles. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Mexico City is 100 times cleaner and nicer than Los Angeles, and it's not even fucking close. Like, my mom sent me a video or sent me a text. Hey, be careful down there. Mexico City's not that safe. I called her from there. I said, Mom, I just want you to realize something. I love you, and Mexico City is 100 times safer and 100 times cleaner than Los Angeles right now.
Yeah.
I was blown away up to how nice it is. It was beautiful, man.
I can imagine everyone listening who's ever been to L.A., especially in the last 5 years, probably disagree with you. Right,
yeah.
At the hop.
It's a fucking war zone.
What about Cabo? Cabo. You feel safe in Cabo?
I love Cabo.
You got to check your back pocket.
I love Cabo. I heard it.
Those little kids who come up to you and they just want to ravage your pockets. Hey, kids, no, I don't want drugs. And no, I don't have any pesos in my back pocket.
Not like Cabo at all. Not. I know what you're talking about. When you go down to the harbor there downtown,
you go to the Nowhere Bar and they're just running.
Not
after
like
you.
That in Mexico City.
Yeah.
The traffic. Though, that's the one thing. The traffic is it's next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people there.
Yeah. 8 million people in the actual certain district of Mexico City, the downtown district.
Yeah.
20 million though of everywhere.
So do you feel the altitude up there?
Not like Aspen.
Fuck, yeah. It was
funny you say that because I was
9,000 feet up.
I was talking to Billy about that the second night we were there. I'm like, Billy, I don't know if it's just because typically when I go to Aspen, I get on that first night, I stay up till 5 o'clock with Mac L, but I'm like, my skin doesn't feel like Aspen. Yeah. I'm not dying like Aspen. He's like, no, it's a little more humid. It's a different feel.
Yeah, humid. And then I was going to say, and you add another couple thousand feet staying in your Ritz-Carlton, by the way. What floor were you on?
55.
Yeah.
No. Billy's on 55.
I was going to say, what a good number for you.
Yeah, Billy's on 55. His condo.
Set the weekend, right?
Yeah, his condo's next level. We were on 45. Nice. Yeah.
Good workbench in there?
Great workbench.
Yeah.
Took it to the patio, too, even.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that high up. Who's watching the birds?
We had to, yeah. The neighbors heard us. They opened the door where they went. But the food's unbelievable. The city up, I was blown away. If you ever have an opportunity to go down.
Yeah, love to.
And let's start right there. The CD MX Arena in Mexico City, brand new barn, 22,000. It's like the size of the Bell Center up, dog. We need a hockey game down there. Billy Quinn, I think, is the guy to broker this deal between the Dallas Stars and the Arizona Coyotes to me. But let's make it a regular season game, too. Like how they do Monday Night Football, they go down there for, let's make it a regular season hockey game on a Saturday in Mexico City, because I think they will come out, especially if you have Dallas and Arizona, you know, with two teams with some Mexican background to them. I think it's a no-brainer up top.
Yeah, and then I would just lead into what a topic of conversation that got flown around social media was, what kind of scraps are we looking at in the crowd if a hockey game breaks out?
Oh, man. I mean, listen.
What a scrap.
The scrap was I couldn't believe it when it started. So it started, I was like, Billy, look at this shit. It's me and Younger and Kyle and Craig, his buddy, his brother, story. And, you know, you think a fight's going to be broken up in the first 30 seconds, right? Not this one, up dog. Dana White said after the UFC fight night that it was the craziest thing he witnessed in the UFC. And I was like, well, Dana, Khabib jumped out of the cage and tried to fight Conor McGregor's, you know, corner man. So I don't know if it's the craziest thing, but went on for 3 minutes, up dog. 3 minute tilt, no security to be seen. The one guy got hit with a chair, right? The kisser. And then the last guy came in and just gave this guy a left and knocked him out cold. And then finally it broke up. But 3 minutes, buddy, it was insane.
It looked like we needed Pat McAfee and Jackie Redmond there to just call the shots.
Yeah.
It looked like WWE for a while.
It was straight out of WWE.
And it wasn't any like gang versus gang or like one guy's corner versus the other guy's corner. Because these guys just got up and started chucking. The one old guy got knocked right out and it got back up again, was kind of like laughing.
Yeah.
The videos online were great.
It was insane. And
I thought about you, though. I was worried about you. I was like, hopefully they're in a suite.
Wow, we were in the owner's suite. The owner.
I need you. They coming back, you know, roughed up, a little black guy, you know, thrown in Mexican prison.
No, I mean, shout out to Billy Quinn. The setup was unbelievable. We were in the owner's suite of the arena. That's why this game, Billy Quinn's the guy. I don't know if, sorry, Billy, I'm throwing your hat in the ring here without even asking you. But this could happen, man. Billy knows the owner. The building is beautiful. They love violence in Mexico City, so maybe we should bring Matt Rempe in, who we're going to get to. Maybe we got to get the Rangers to play in this game. But, dude, it's unbelievable. The atmosphere was great. I think there's room for growth for hockey down there, Ops. I really do, and it's a beautiful city with a beautiful brand-new stadium. And what I'm saying is I want to go on a fellow tour to Mexico City with you.
Well, it's a market that we haven't quite tapped into.
Yeah.
Now, we only pay, you know, we pay our duties when we go there on all-star breaks after the season, and we spend our money golfing and at, you know, Mandela. But for the most part, you know, the NHL has not tapped into the Mexican market. Mm-hmm. And what better way than to a brand new barn? You think it's got the, you know, the capability of an ice rink in there? And it's full on.
Oh, yeah.
It's big. Like, it's like
massive. It's like 15,000. 22,000. Bigger than the Bell Center.
Just move the Coyotes there. Fuck it.
You could.
Right?
You could move the Coyotes there. Although this guy, what's his name? Who owns the Utah Jazz?
Ryan Smith.
This guy wants to buy the Coyotes now.
I mean, remember when we golfed with that guy and he said there was an 800? The number was 850, I believe, was the number that the owners were kind of like turning down. It's like, come on. You're going to not sell the Coyotes for a number like above 850 or 800?
Yeah.
You're playing, and it's plug and play. It's ready to rock and roll. You have an owner that has the capability to build a new practice facility. You know, you have a brand new barn. You got the Olympics coming there. Hockey's been there before. It's worked. It's an up and coming tech fucking mecca. Everything works good.
That's where I had to run from the hotel through the parking lot. Grant Fuhr's like, could happen to anyone, Obes. I slept in from after my pregame nap. And I'm just
hustling. Salt Lake?
Yeah, I'm just hustling in my fucking suit. And there's Grant Fuhr. He's the goalie coach for the Coyotes farm team. And I just run by. I'm like, hey, Fuhr, how you doing, buddy? And he just says, could happen to anyone, kid.
By the way, while we got Grant Fuhr, I do have to tell one quick story. He hit me up last week and said, what's your email? I sent him missing curfew, you know, my missing curfew one. He said, I'm the GM of a Live thing. I'm sending you a contract of Live, not a Live tour, of that three ice. I'm sending you a contract to play. We need you 4 weeks this year. What do you think? Should I start doing some squats?
Here's your good luck locking this guy down for four. You couldn't lock down for 4 weeks.
No, 4 weeks. Yeah, four Wednesdays or something.
No chance. Zero chance. In the summer?
Yeah.
No chance.
What if it's just every Wednesday? You fly out Tuesday, play Wednesday, come back Thursday.
I'm going to say something will pop.
Be back for the Friday
game. I'm going to say something will pop up in those 4 weeks that you will miss a game. I would bet, I don't know how much, let me think about it, but I would bet that if you signed the deal, that something in those 4 weeks would pop up and you'd be like, fuck it, I'm not playing this.
Good content, though. Right. When we fly around, but bring Kyle in, bring Princey.
Nah, I mean,
fuck, the cities aren't perfect, though. I looked them up.
What cities are they?
There's like Charlotte. Well, actually, Charlotte might be on there.
That's a great city. That's a great
I know, we get back to it. That's got to be a whole other segment if I do sign this deal. But that's not looking like it's going to happen.
Fierzy, if you're listed, I would get a you know, he doesn't get paid unless he shows up kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly.
I guarantee, like, middle of, what is it, July or August?
I think it's middle of July.
There's going to be, like, you're going to get, like, a text from K-Wash or Dolly or Noah, and they're going to be like, hey, wine festival. You're going to be like, fuck that. I'm going to the wine festival with the boys.
No, it'll be like Ibiza or something.
Yeah. So, listen, I wanted to say this one last thing before we move on from UFC Mexico City. We had this police escort, that Billy Quinn, this beauty. Billy lives down there, right? He does business down there. He's fluent in Spanish, so he knows a couple guys that work for the Mexico City Police Department. And they were off that night. So Billy says, hey, listen, we need an escort to the rink from the Ritz-Carlton. Up, dog. I felt like I was in that movie Sicario or whatever. Yeah, Man on Fire with Denzel Washington, like you said before we record. It would have taken us an hour. It took us 25 minutes buzzing through Mexico City. Three SUVs, a cop on a motorcycle in front of us, a cop on a motorcycle behind us. And we are just buzzing through these intersections. And remember, if you ever go to Mexico City, remember I told you this, because when you see the traffic, it'll blow your mind even more. Like, I told Billy, he's going to tell a story. I'm like, I almost need you to call in and talk to Uppy about this, because you weren't there. It was insane, man. I had my seatbelt on. I was playing Rufus Du Sol, Pearl Jam, played some Tom Petty. I was drinking a whiskey on the rocks, and we are just buzzing, man. And these guys are just, like, on their bikes fucking, hey, see. And I'm like, Mac Miller, put your seatbelt on. Holy fuck. Like, it was insane.
Immediately thought of, you do have to have these personal bodyguards there. And then immediately thought of Denzel Washington, like, taking care of those, you know, the girls at the school and stuff like that. It's a fucking gnarly, gnarly show.
Gnarly.
And I'm glad you guys had a great experience.
Listen, the club, you would have loved this club.
Well, I saw the video.
So you get out. You got to go downstairs. You got to go down in a parking garage. Then you go in the parking garage, and that's where the line for the club is. Then you go in there. So now you're in one. Now you go up the stairs, and now you're in another little security thing where they fucking blah, blah, blah. And then you get into the club. It had a feel. Remember Teddy's at Roosevelt back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck, this upstairs feels like Teddy's. I go to Mac Miller. You ever went to Teddy's? She's like, what's Teddy's? And she's like, all right, Teddy's.
It was Teddy's, and what else was the place right below it? Where with the midgets that would fly around with the booze? Yeah, Brandy, come to your table. Yeah. Anyway, same spot, right? At the
But Teddy's was one of my favorite bars in Hollywood. I know. Let's move into the match. I don't know if you watched any of it last night. Listen, shout out to Charles Barkley's the man. TNT does such a great job. I personally thought Max Homa and Lexi Thompson stole the show. Max was being himself. I mean, he was just being hilarious. He didn't, unfortunately, got skunked in the skins game. But I thought Lexi Thompson's, the way she was, her sense of humor, man. It was awesome. Yeah. It was really cool. That's the new little setup they have in Palm Beach, where the PGA of America.
What course was that at?
So the PGA of America.
Yeah,
their offices I've moved there.
Okay,
and they created this night, this golf course with lights at night for kids to sell the game.
Awesome,
it's amazing.
I know. Figure it out, people.
It was unbelievable. Roy McIlroy run away with it. He was playing on. I mean, some of the drives he hit up dog were. I was like up dog like.
Yeah,
like this one drive he outdrove Max Homa by 100 yards, I bet you.
Yeah, wow. And he hits a draw, right? It's a draw coming off his club, isn't it? Piercing, like.
It's just shit on.
I know, it's shit on, right?
At one time he said, Chuck was chirping me at 70 yards, and Chuck was like, and he's like, you know what, I should have probably laid it back to have a full shot, Chuck, but I just can't not hit driver. He's like, I just love hitting driver.
I love
so
it. That's my motto, too. Yeah. It's just, I mean, when it is your best club in the bag, you might as well fucking pull it out.
Shout out to Casey, our boy Casey at TaylorMade. I got my new QI10 driver. Looks nice. No excuses. Looks nice.
Is that the new one?
That's the new one.
That's the new one.
The blue head with the blue carbon face.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting out there tomorrow.
Must be in the mail.
Yeah. You already got one.
I know.
You probably took it.
Is that the same one?
You probably took it back to Roger Dunn already.
No, I haven't, but I just looking for that shaft. It's got the new nipple on it. You find the new TaylorMade nipple to put in that one.
Hey, listen, another thing I want to say ups is DraftKings had so many cool live bets throughout this TNT, the match. Like,
were they posting them?
Oh, yeah, dude, the whole time. Nice. I'm sitting in the Mystic Creek Sprinter van being like, God, I wish I was in the great state of Colorado right now.
I was there. It could have been firing.
Like, so it was great. The three of them hit the green, and it was a live bet. Nobody makes birdie. Two people make birdie. All of them make birdie. And it was like, oh, I'm like, that is so cool. Like, I'm watching. If I had the app, I'm like, boom. Yeah. Like, because a couple of them were little sliders. Rory stuffed it into there. Like, It was unbelievable job by DraftKings, and that's why legalizing gambling to me is so smart, because it makes it fun like that. It made the match that much more exciting, except for I couldn't fucking bet. That was
well, listen,
problem.
When California hits, it's heads up. Yeah. It's the rock, you know, the moon is the limit here, but Lexi's eagle on three was not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little, she gained, was it? It was early, right? But she got a $200,000.
Yeah, she came in second.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else wasn't bad is Lexi Thompson's legs.
Yeah, not bad.
She doesn't miss leg day, and she's got that nice tan. Her getaway sticks are next level.
What a tour. I mean, that's tennis and golf for women. It's a great tour to be on. You keep your tan, stay in shape. I mean, make tons of dough.
Speaking of girls' tennis, have you ever seen the movie King Richard with Will Smith about the Williams sisters story?
No.
Great movie. I watched it on the plane coming home yesterday from Mexico City, which, by the way, up dog, I was in one. I was in one when we took off, dude. So it's so funny. Your text is like, ooh, the fajitas backfired on you. And I had fajitas for lunch. And I got on the plane, man, and I'm like in one up. Like right McKenna's, I'm like, don't touch me. And we're just starting to push off. And the guy's like just about to, and I'm like, I kicked the belt off. I'm like, get out of the way. Get out of the way. And he looked at me like I didn't even ask. I just said,
Yeah, he knew.
Oh, he
you were a charging bull. It was the what do you call that? The fucking running of the bulls down Mexico City, down the United bus.
Oh man, I was in one up, dog. And last but not least, just on this match, there's been 9 of them. They've raised over $41 million. So I mean, good on you guys. It's must see TV, and I thought they absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Was it Capital One again, or what would they do? The
Capital One,
yeah,
Capital good for One. Them. So yeah, yeah. Awesome. Good on them, Max. Shake it off, fella. He had a couple close to the pins, but he got skunked. Listen, I know how it feels to get skunked to the skins game.
Totally.
So. We'll be right back at Miss Fella. We got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up, dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur. 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
Curfew. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Uppy's World.
Party time.
Back in Cali. Hey, listen.
Let me tell you.
How nice was the sun today for you when you woke
up? Sun was nice.
Come on.
Listen, I had a great morning. I flew back with Beckham yesterday, me and my son. Shout out to my buddy Josh Takeman, who ended up just sitting next to me on the plane. Thank fuck. Because, you know, when I first got there, Beckham wanted to be in the aisle, then he wanted to be in the next two seats across the aisle. And so I let him do that as I'm putting these bags away, bud, and he falls right on his face. It couldn't have been like a worse way to start off his flight. And then the lady ahead of me in bulkhead was like, can I give you my seat? And I'm like, thank you so much. And then so Josh came on late, and we had this. It was a guy's trip, 3-hour flight, whatever. It was easy. And then shout out to our boy. Picked me up from the airport.
Oh, G-Money.
G-Money. So it was a good day, but listen, talk about party time. It was a great weekend. Palm Tree Festival, Kygo. There wasn't a lack of parties or talent around the St. Regis, around...
Seems like every weekend in Aspen.
Back-to-back weekends. You had President's Day right into this Palm Tree Festival. Most of them didn't leave, especially the ones Cantaloupe, had around. Just shout out to Jim. He took care of the boys. Sheldon sledding with the boys all the time. It was an incredible week, but I mean, stockpiled at this Saturday night for Kygo and Chainsmokers.
Not to name drop, but
our boy Charlie Grace was in town. He was there with Chase Brogan, Andy Hunt, those guys from Orbeat. These guys just roll like you properly should. And they were friends with the Chainsmokers and with Kygo and his manager Miles. So we had a couple epic nights with those guys. We did gala. We did an after party. You remember JJ that brought us around? Melon Hat JJ Beauty. He wants to come on the pod. He's got a Stanley Cup ring from Vegas because him and the Maloof brothers helped Bill Foley build, you know, helped them bring the team there and stuff. So JJ introduced you to your one of your ex-girlfriends way back in the day when we did a 14 party.
Oh, JJ from JJ. Newport.
There you go.
Yeah, he took us to 14.
So he was in town with Morgan Wallen, who you might not know this, and I didn't
singer? Really.
Yeah, he's huge. He's like the Taylor Swift of country music.
Yeah.
And this kid came and DJed a party at Casa Tua Friday night, jumped in the DJ booth, played some hip-hop, and people are like, you know, that's Morgan Wallen. And no one even really knew who he was, which is crazy. And then the next night at after party, it was just rocking. When I say talent, I mean you had that Amendola was there. He's a stud.
I wonder if guys out there that have kids compare their life to like how you're.
No, you have two
kids and you're like, I got the kids and then boys, I'm backstage with Kygo.
Then you have
and
to
I
send.
Got the, and then I'm backstage with Chainsmokers.
Yeah, I mean it was a great weekend. But Aspen's so small that it's. You know, it's not that hard. It's not like you're going to a concert at a rink that's worth, you know, 15,000 people. Yeah. There was like maybe 4,000 people at this. Yeah. And we were rolling around doing whatever we wanted.
I'm just saying, you're raising your kid a little different than Big Scott raised you. And
yeah.
And Big Scott's probably like,
you're damn
fuck,
right.
When I raised you, man, I had to go work all day and then you're going to parties and this and that. It's just a unique situation, man.
Yeah, no, and then so to bring it all back into clarity for Sunday, we woke up and we took the kids to this cookout house. Me, Loops, his mom, shout out to Carmen, and his girl, Ariel. We took the kids. It's like a 30-minute drive into the mountains, Obes. You get off, and you can either cross-country ski or you jump on a horse and carriage with, like, 50 other people, like, three different sets of horses, and you ride 25 minutes up into the woods, and then you get to this crazy nice log house, this cabin, and you eat, like, a proper lunch, tequila, little wine. Jump back on the fucking
the horse. Finer things of life.
Jump back on the horse, you know, horse and wagon, and so that was a nice way to spend, you know, the Sunday with the kids before we got super.
You're living the dream, buddy.
You're
living the dream.
Hockey.
You're living the dream.
You're living the dream. Mexico City to Aspen. I mean,
hey,
you're the one partying in Mexico City, bud.
Hey, listen, bud. I'm just saying, you're living the dream. That's all I'm saying. Uppies World, party time. Chainsmokers, woo! I love that the Chainsmokers are still...
They still rock, man.
Still rocking.
I tell you, the girls, there's no shortage they bring around.
Longevity. Speaking of longevity, let's get right into it with DraftKings Bets, baby. Updog, you said it last week on this podcast that if Austin Matthews scores 70, how can they not give him the heart? Well, the sports books, the sports bettors or the bookies, or not the bookies, the line makers... Must be listening to Mr. Curfew because he is now the odds-on favorite on DraftKings, baby, at +250 to win the Hart Trophy. We're going to get into the Leafs in a little bit, but I mean, it's crazy how quickly that swung because Kucherov hasn't slowed down at all. He's over 100 points. McKinnon's kind of slowed down after he took the puck to the nose, and I mean, 97. I think he's only 6 points behind McKinnon now. It's crazy.
It's
got like 89 points.
Watching him play is nuts. It's still so nuts. He gets better and better every game, Hopes. It's crazy.
It was awesome. He was dealing with the media up in Edmonton, and you can see that he just, And they asked him about not having a goal. Can you imagine, I don't know who the guy was, asking Connor McDavid, had 6 assists in the game a couple weeks ago. You haven't scored 9 games. And you could kind of see that he was like.
Thanks, Tips.
Yeah, he goes, I'm not even going to worry about scoring goals anymore. I'm just going to go for assists. So he was kind of like joking at it, but. Listen, man, what Matthews is doing right now is unbelievable. So get on there, the DraftKings app. Right now, he's +250. He doesn't show signs of slowing down, up dog. The Mystic Curfew, dog of the week, up dog. Listen, I remember this kid from the Memorial Cup where you went up there. I remember him crying after he lost his last game of the Memorial Cup. The captain of the Kamloops Blazers. This kid's a beauty. Say his name so I don't butcher it.
Logan Stankoven, bud. Stankoven, fella. How are you?
Listen, I watched this kid play last night against Dallas, New York Islanders. He had 1-1, his first goal on his 21st birthday. I thought of you, former Kamloops Blazer. He's 5'8" up dog, but he plays way bigger than he is. I love this kid's game. And after what I saw in Kamloops, you got to have this guy.
No, well done. I watched him play live last year at the Memorial Cup, like you said. I didn't know... But what I loved about his game, I knew he was a great leader. I could tell that just watching the way he carried himself, talking to his teammates, being that go-to guy out on the ice. But He is tiny, and his game was good in junior, but I'm so proud that a nice Kamloops Blazer alumni is out there battling hard in his first full season. He's had an incredible season so far for AHL. He's 24 goals, 33 apples for Texas, living in Austin. Good for you. But what a treat. In front of his parents, in front of Billy Quinn, the boys down there in Dallas, this was a nice, you know, homecoming for him. It was a nice little way to come out and, you know, show the NHL that, you know, youth hockey, Western League style, fucking kid's got some game.
Yeah, he does. He really does. On his 21st birthday, unfortunately, they lost, like I said. But when I look at this Dallas Stars, like, same steel on the second line right now. I don't know if that's going to play out for the rest of the year, but I think there's an opportunity for this kid.
Yeah.
He's lighting up the American League. Good Western leaguer. I'm pulling for him up, dog. And that's why he's our dog of the week, fella. Get this guy.
Get
a Labatt Blue up, dog.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together, fella, so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
All right, up dog, lead us off here, fella. A little local boy doing some good stuff on the PGA Tour.
Oh, God, talk about it. Jake Knapp wins the Mexican Open for his first PGA Tour championship. Buddy, plays at Mesa Verde. Nice little track up the street. My brother-in-law's a member there. We're trying to get big guy in there. Listen, I think this kid's a stud. He's, you know, he's had some success the Canadian Tour. He's built for speed. He hits a big bomb. Everyone I've ever played with at Big Canyon, when I mentioned Knapp time, they're like, oh, you mean Jake Knapp? And I go, no, I'm talking about Evan Knapp, my boy. So I never really, have you ever got a chance to play with this kid?
Never play with him. He bombs it.
He bombs it.
Yeah.
Bombs he's got like, he's fiery, he's wiry. But anyway, congratulations for him checking in his first trip to the Masters here in April. I'm sure that's going to be a treat. There'll probably be a lot of Orange County guys out there. But listen, that's just, you know, that's what happens when you go down to Mexico. Was it in Mexico City? Where the hell was that?
I don't know. I don't think it was in Mexico City, but it was the Mexican Open.
The Mexican Open.
Yeah.
And the field wasn't too deep, but that's okay.
Hey, $1.4 million.
Hell,
$1.4 million. Guy just got his card last year coming off the Corn Ferry Tour. Sponsored by the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Big hockey guy. Listen, man, he's got good tempo. Got up and down from some places on the back nine that were unbelievable. And he's got a great mullet. See his mullet?
Yeah.
Great mullet. Beautiful girlfriend. Yeah, his girl came out. Nice. She must be a Cali girl. Got the nice blonde hair. Came running out. Gave him a nice hug and a kiss. And you know what? There's a video on social media of him after he got his card basically saying, like, look out, PGA Tour. I'm coming for you. And yeah.
First full season. Yep. Championship. How are you?
Get this guy a Labatt Blue. Up dog, Quinton Byfield. I've been wanting to give this guy a blue light for a while here. And just so many guys are lighting up in the National League. Quinton Byfield, who I had doubts about when he first came in the league. I don't know. He was so young. And I remember, shout out to my boy Cooley. Cooley always said he's young Obes. Well, he's turned himself into a hell of a player here. 43 points in 53 games. He's big. He's strong. He goes to the net. He takes pucks to the net. Quinton Byfield, get yourself a Labatt Blue, fella. And then next up, dog, while we're giving out blue lights here, first of all, it's to Matt Rempe. But first of all, Delorier and Rempe for that fight. I hope you had a couple cold Labatt Blues on the bus after the game. That fight was probably the best
fight I've seen in 5 years.
Since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
For sure.
I couldn't agree more. I showed that fight to, I don't know how many people at this dinner I was at. One was that Danny Amendola, who was, you know, he played hard. He played football hard.
And he got
was
hit
like,
a lot,
He was like, holy fuck. It was just a great scrap. Both guys took punches. Both guys stayed in there. They stayed right in the wheelhouse. The refs did an incredible job of letting them go. And the fans, I mean, just in Philly, like, come on. Could it have been a better stage for a New York-Philadelphia Flyer match? Like,
I don't know.
Center ice tilt? It was awesome.
It was absolutely insane. I saw a comment from Matt Rempe today that, you know, he's trying to stay even keeled. He's like, I was at the Cheesecake Factory last night. You could tell he's a rookie eating at the Cheesecake Factory.
Totally.
And he's like, people coming up and taking pictures of me, and he's like, I'm trying to stay even keeled. But I've said it over the years of doing this podcast with you, Ups, that like, if you're a big guy, I know this guy's 6'8", there's not a lot of guys, but if you're a bigger boy and you're in the American Hockey League, A, work on your skating, and B, if you do get an opportunity, I'm not saying you got to come out and get in 3 fights in 5 games like this guy did, which I absolutely love, but there's still a role, man. There is still a role in the league for this exact thing, and you don't think Matt Rempe is an ass, as an is a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Asset?
An asset to the New York Rangers right now?
No, he's now, in 1 week, he became NHL's most like recognizable name, and he's and basically put himself into a conversation about all the young players that, that are in the league, and there's a lot of great ones. He's yeah. right up there.
Big
I mean,
time.
He was probably the most downloaded video in the NHL this past week was that fight with DeLaurier. It has to be.
Yeah, and listen, when you do the right things, you stick up for your teammates, you get rewarded by the hockey gods, as Barry Trotz used to say. He got the game-winning goal, too. Went yep. right to the front of the net, like the Updog said last week to Connor Brown. Get to the front of the net, gets rewarded. I mean, it's just such a great story. Now, if I'm on his team, I'm on your fucking team. I would probably pull him aside and say, fella, let's slow down a bit here.
Yeah.
You don't need to fight every single night you come out here.
Yeah, no, I know.
You've done your part. Now, why don't we try draw some penalties, right? If this guy wants to come at you, maybe draw one for the Blues.
100%.
We'll put the bread man out, Zibanejad and Fox, and we'll get one here. Yeah. Trochi, you've done a great job, kid. You don't have to chuck him every single night. And I did in the American League 1 year. I had 22 majors. It grinds on you. And I just, if I was on that team ups, I would tell him, hey,
yeah, come. Like the Barkley Goodrows need to grab him.
Yeah.
Be like, just by the way, you know, I've been there. Let's get under these guys' skin. They're going to take dumb penalties. You're going to have all these tough guys want us. But and for me, even if it's a tough guy now, he has no, you know, he can say, fuck you. I just fucking fought three of the toughest guys in the league.
Big time.
Who are you? What was the last tough guy you fought? Like, yeah. He can kind of come back at these guys and say this. Like, he's now put himself in a spot where he can pick and choose based on either time of the game, situational, you know, is he sticking up for a player? But he can fight on his own. You know, on his own time right now,
yeah,
which is hard to do 1 week into your career.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, he can use it as a tool where if the Rangers come out and they're flat, they're down 2-0, get out there and go. Get out there and fight right away. And, hey, listen, if you want to keep fighting off the opening faceoff, good on you, fella. Yeah, I mean, I'm
in the game.
Yeah, I would just give you his advice as a veteran guy.
But just to maybe tuck your chin.
It's unbelievable.
Because he's taken...
Well, Olivier got him from Columbus, but that guy's
I know,
a kill,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, he's probably in the last three fights, you know, you had Martin, you had DeLaurier, and you had, and what's his name? He's probably taken 30 fucking punches in the face. And like, he still is.
Yeah.
He didn't go down.
Yeah, no.
Like, fuck.
He went down the Olivier fight. But
yeah.
He ate some bombs in that fight. The fight against DeLaurier, DeLaurier took the worst of that one, and I love DeLaurier. He's given up inches to that big boy.
I know.
The Martin one. I thought he got the better of Martin, but yeah, the last one.
Do you think it's like, so for DeLaurier and Rempe fighting, do you think, whose advantage is it to you? Like, I think it's almost an advantage to the shorter guy a little bit. Like,
well,
Derek Bugard's another story.
Depends if you want to take a few to get in there.
Yeah, like, because he's got the reach, but you get to throw up, and like, your center of gravity can maybe spin him a bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, anytime I fought someone taller than me is, if you want to get inside, like you're saying, you got to be willing to fucking eat a few.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the big guys you fought are big, big boys.
Like, I didn't fight that many of
like
them.
Rempe to me is like, I don't know, what does he weigh? He probably weighs...
I think he's 6'8", 235 or something like that. They haven't listed that.
So he is still a monster.
240.
240.
240. Okay, he's like 6'8". Shit house. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a monster.
I thought he might have been a little stick, like fiery.
Listen, he's got... If you bring up Boogie's a good comparison. Boogie, I think, was thicker than him even, but... When Boogie was first in the American League, like he didn't realize how tough he was. This kid's gonna learn. Like he's just fucking getting in there and just throwing, and he's kind of like he'll learn that and get in there and fucking dig in and look out. That he'll knock guys out.
Yeah,
like he's still
kind of bigger too. He's kind of a skinny guy. He's gonna put on some weight.
Yeah, he's kind of throwing like this up. So like if he digs in and gets in here more, like Olivier did to him. Olivier was down the pipe here. He's kind of like, if I had a place for him, I'd like bend your knees and get in there. And you could start knocking some guys out. Not that we want to see guys get knocked out here. It's not the UFC here.
Why
it's not the UFC here.
I don't know. Just put him in a chicken wing, fucking rip his head off.
Yeah, listen, Matt Rempe, I talked to Mac L. Loops didn't get back to me, but you get free drinks at Due West. You guys have to pay for a drink at Due West.
Are you nuts?
Yeah, Mac L reached out to me and said, yeah, Matt Rempe, get in there. Go treat yourself, fella, to a drink at Due West on the boys. I love you, Rempe. Keep it going, fella. You're great for the game. Enjoy the National League. Listen up, dog. Get this girl a bat blue for the second week in a row. I'm missing curfew.
Get this
Cindy
beautiful
Crawford.
Girl.
Man, first of all, we talked about skincare last week when you're in Aspen. I got a nice little skincare program going on right now, by the way. Kiehl's. I got the night style. Anyways.
Nice.
She looks beautiful.
Yeah.
She looks great. Her skin is just glowing under those United Center lights. Doesn't miss too many Pilates classes by the looks of her. And can she shoot the hockey puck or what? Right down the pipe up, Doug. I couldn't do that. I'll tell you right now. Put me out there. Give me one shot. I don't fucking bury it. I would try to sauce it.
She looked good, and she shot it hard. Like with you and I, crispy rice, spicy tea.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible. She looked good. Leather pants. I mean, she's been always one of my favorites.
How old would she be? 54 or something like that? How old would Cindy Crawford be?
Come here. I used to have her poster on my wall.
Oh, Cindy. She was the first, you know. Yeah.
58 years old.
58 years old. She looks absolutely stunning. Yeah. And athletic.
Good jeans.
Just rip it in there like that. So get her a Labatt Blue. That was presented by our good friends at Labatt Blue USA. Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Hey, Up Dog, an old segment here at Mr. Curfew. We're bringing it back. This guy fucks Patty Kane.
Whew, showtime.
What a return.
Yeah.
Go ahead. That
was incredible. I thought you're bang on with the tribute video, deservingly so. Patty Kane, if you're going to listen to this podcast, you probably got better things to do, but... I just admired the way you played. I admired how your swag. I admired the fucking timing of you know, magic you've done on the ice. But what you did back in your, what do you want to call it, Obes?
Prime?
No, just back fucking getting the plane in front of Chicago again. Your revisit.
Oh, your return.
The return.
Yeah.
What he did was special, man. Overtime fucking, overtime magic on a night where they're celebrating, you know, a legend. You come in. And in front of the fans that you've always been there for, in front of your old teammates, in front of your old coaches, you know, everyone was in this. Everyone was there. You come out and you do that, and in such timely fashion for Showtime, he just perfectly roofs one.
Yeah, it was a star-studded affair. We're gonna get into Chelly right now, but there was so many fucking
the best
big dogs there.
Part of the whole goal was when I think it was Wallen came to jump on him. And he just fucking, nuh-uh, not tonight. And he turns around and just skates off himself and has just an epic celly. Yeah, I mean, talk about celebrations. You've been on the ice for a few of them against him, but kid's got some great cellies.
He certainly does.
Always has been one of the few guys that has made his own celly. You know, the remarkable, like, break the heart. Fucking, come on, how are you? You want some more? It was just epic.
I mean, listen, I'm sitting down in Mexico City. I got the Red Wings, -170. I'm like, that seems low to me, right? Red Wings have been playing great. Frankie, our boy Frankie, shout out to Frankie, tells me that Red Wings are going to win the Stanley Cup 2 nights ago. He texts me, says, oh, the Red Wings are going to win the Stanley Cup. I say, Frankie, if you truly believe that, go to DraftKings and fucking bet them because they're probably +5,000 right now to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm thinking 2-1, halfway through the third, and I'm just thinking, could you imagine if somehow that this comes down to this puck's on Patty Kane's stick in an overtime, and sure enough, Uppy comes right to him. Nobody around him.
I know.
Like, I mean, nobody around him, and he's just dusting it off, and he's probably sitting up in his looking at his Stanley Cup banner, so he's going in on Mrazek thinking, Showtime.
It was great.
And it was spink dink, and his celly, when he started yelling Showtime, I'm like, it's not even cocky. It's just fucking great. It was just great swag. It was unbelievable. And listen, Connor Bedard taking a run at him. I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think.
I think it's great.
You think it's great?
Yeah, fucking get in there.
With the bubble.
Oh, it's great.
With the bubble
well,
on.
Well, yeah, you're going to take a shot back.
Running Patty of Kane course with a bubble on. Patty I don't Kane. Know if I like it.
He's probably rubbing him saying, would you please come back here next year?
He didn't rub him. He drove him in.
Oh, I know.
Drove him in. Yeah. Patty Kane's like, if he didn't have a bubble on, I was going to go after him, which he was joking, but... I don't know. I don't know if I like it. Obviously, you got a bubble on. It's Patty Kane's return.
The bubble's on, not just because he's got like a, you know, broken nose. The kid's jaw was on sideways, so it's like,
I guess you
can't just not hit anyone.
I guess from a guy who used to try to hit Patty Kane and couldn't. Good job, Connor. Way to get him.
Exactly.
Way to get him. You wouldn't have got him before his hip surgery. I guarantee you that. But I don't know. Ups with the fishbowl on. I don't know if I love it. I don't know if I love it. I don't know if I love it. But what a win! What a tribute video. Now, we talk about tribute videos on here a lot. That one was unbelievable. had fans talking to him, cops, firefighters, and then just his highlight reel is, like, I forgot how many big goals he scored.
I know.
The OT winner in France, Philly, where he slid it fucking,
yeah,
and
he just skated down
skated
the,
down
ice.
The
he
ice.
He was the only one in the barn that knew it was in.
So sick.
He was the only one in the whole entire Wells Fargo Center that knew the puck went in to win the Stanley Cup. It was awesome.
Awesome. Well-deserved showtime. Keep it going. I don't know if I agree with Frankie. I don't think the Red Wings are going to win the Stanley Cup, but they are playing better than I thought they would, and he's leading the charge. Let's stay right there at the United Center Up Dog. Chelly, what a ceremony. First of all, I love the all-black with the black buttoned-up thing with no tie. I thought that was a good look. Chelly had a great tan.
I mean,
comes out in the convertible old-school entourage car, I thought was cool. But did you see this aftershaker this guy had?
I did. I mean, it was Pearl Jam played.
Are
right?
you kidding me?
I know.
Eddie Vedder up there snapping it around.
Who else played with Eddie Vedder that night? It was there was someone else I read played with Eddie Vedder. I don't know. I can't think of it right now. But
came out the Cadillac convertible. Listen, one thing I loved about the speech ups is he thanked other people, right? Like, yeah, it's your night, Chelly. But he thanked all the guys that were there. He gave some love to Dennis Rodman. I thought he did an unbelievable job. I thought it was a great night. There were so many legends in the building. Gretz was there, Ty Domi, Mess, Jeremy Roenick, Danny Savard. It goes on and on. It looks like they had an unbelievable party. And I guess my question is, like, what took so long to retire his jersey? Like, what?
Yeah,
what do you
know.
Think? What do you,
I don't know.
I think it was perfect timing.
Yeah, I you know, obviously Chicago had their dynasty run after he had retired. So there's probably years and years gone by where they're like, not this year. Let's focus on our team. But they've been dog shit for, 5 years. So
I guess
at least.
I guess they knew what they were doing, though. To have it on the return of Patty Kane and for him to give Patty, I mean, for what Chelly said about Patty Kane in his speech, that you're going to be the best American born player of all time, kind of set the stage.
Set the tone. Just thinking this off the top of my head, in the next 5 years, you're going to have Seabrook, you're going to have Keith.
Is Seabrook's going to the rafters?
You're
going to
have Taves. You're going to arguably have Crawford. Those four guys are going to get their jerseys retired there. Their dynasty. They will. They're all going to be,
Is there a Ring of Honor?
Is Duncan Keith a Hall of Famer?
I suck at the Hall of Fame game, but Duncan Keith's jersey is going to the rafters.
100%. So is Jonathan Taves.
Brent Seabrook. Yeah. Seabrook's is not.
I think it does too.
You think it gets retired?
I think Siebes gets retired too. I think they do those four guys. Maybe Crawford too.
Is there a Ring of Honor? Like, do they have?
No, I don't think they do.
Because Seabrook should get something. Because fuck, I mean, him and Keith were unbelievable. I witnessed it firsthand. But I don't know. Jersey retired? I guess you won three cups there. I mean, if Dustin Brown got a fucking statue, Seabrook should get his jersey retired.
Totally.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and Taves is a no brainer too. But it's just. Those guys, they played a lot of hockey, won a lot of fucking hockey games.
A lot of hockey.
Right? Those lucky
Duncan
bastards.
Keith's a Hall of Famer in my books, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Duncan Keith.
I don't have his numbers up here right here.
Saying that, I think Chicago's like, all right, let's gear up for the retirement run here.
You think Cordy Crawford, too? He won two cups.
He won
two. The one little Finn guy, what was his name? Ante Niemi?
Niemi.
Niemi won one.
He got him one. Yeah, Crawford, who knows if he had to stay healthy, if they could.
What about Patrick Sharp? Are you throwing Sharpies up there, too?
No, because he only got two.
He only got two. I'm going to say Crawford doesn't get one either. Taves.
Taves and Keith, you think?
100%.
Sure. And obviously Kane.
Oh, yeah. Siebes. Siebes, you're a great player. It's no disrespect.
So Siebes wore, Keith wore six. Siebes wore what, 24?
Seven.
Did he wear seven?
Keith Taves wore number 19. Two. Keith wore number two. Duncan Keith was two. Seabrook, seven. Fuck, if you're putting jerseys up there, get Bully up there too.
Yeah, Bully. Bully and Buff.
If you're putting Siebes up there, I want Bully up there too.
Yeah, totally.
Because Bully was, without Bully, they don't win the two with him there.
No.
I mean, he had the Twins. They couldn't even sleep. They were going like restless. Even at the Peninsula in Chicago, they couldn't sleep. And then Big Buff, I mean, Luongo was having dreams about, nightmares about Buff. So if you're going Siebes, I want Bully up there too. I don't think Bully was there for the. He must have been down playing Adios or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he got the invite for sure.
Dude, great video by Jordan. by MJ. Yeah, MJ. I mean, he's like, I didn't make it back for, they did something for the Bulls. He's like, sorry, I couldn't make it back. I couldn't make it back today either. And he's at the Grove. He's on a tee box at the Grove. Be like, Jelly, you're a good friend, man. Good to see you. I'm like, oh, MJ, you're just teeing up. Right?
I got to do this twice a day for 6 days a week.
Oh, man. Listen, Chicago Blackhawks, in all seriousness, up dog. You know, it's been a tough couple years for them. I thought they were first class all the way there with Chelly and Kaner. I thought it was great. So good on them. It's a great building. And it was a great night. So it was good to see for the NHL. Up dog, it's milk carton time here. Cody Hodgson. Once again, we got a guy coming off the milk carton. He's been found. Cody Hodgson took 8 years off from hockey, up dog. What was he dealing with?
He was dealing with hyperthermia, a case of abnormally high body temperature, unlike hypothermia where you get your nuts frozen out.
So he was just leaking out there.
He just couldn't bring his temperature down. So
either could I some nights out there. I'll tell you what.
As Mexico City dance floor.
I was leaking out
there. No, in all seriousness, though, you're right. Like, listen, 8 years. He retired at 25, and now at 33, back with the Milwaukee Admirals and scored his first goal, fella, in 8 years.
Congratulations,
yeah,
Cody. It's unbelievable. I couldn't, when I took 8 days off from skating, I'd come back, I felt like I was just awful. I can't imagine having 8 years off and coming back. And not just, he's playing in the American League. Great league with lots of good players that could be in the NHL. And he comes back at 33 years old, up dog, and scores a goal. Good on him. I hope he keeps it going. I just thought it was a great story. And I guess what I'm telling you, buddy, you can still maybe.
I guess so.
How many years you been done for? Five?
No, it's longer than that. 2018 in Switzerland.
It's 2024.
No, I know. 6 years.
I think I'm
going to take, you know what? We're going to look at the schedule, bud. We're going to look at the schedule here. We're going to see if Grant Fuhr's contract shows up in my email inbox. And I'll make a decision from there if I should hit the squat rack and do some toe touches.
I'll tell you what. When you get that contract, you get your pen and cross a few things off it. That practice, I ain't making that practice, Fierzy. What's that say? Economy? That's not going to work either.
So I did pull up the Season 3 schedule for 3ICE here. It starts June 12th in Clarksville, Tennessee. Then goes to Allen, Texas. Then Geneva, Illinois. Then Minneapolis.
Ooh, good city.
Lowell, Mass. Newark, New Jersey. Buffalo, NY. Okay. Pittsburgh, and then the finals are in Mullet Arena, August 14th.
Grab yourself a blue light in Buffalo there, fella.
Yeah, so I think you only got to do like 4 or 6 of these weeks.
Fuck.
I don't know. I'd like to score a couple more goals. I'm not done scoring them.
I would tell Fierzy, I'll give you 1 week all I got, fella. You pick the best week you think you're going to need.
Before my groin falls off the bone.
You pick the best week, fella, and I'll come out there and dig in. I hope to God you play in this. What's
do
it called?
Really?
3-on-3?
It's called the 3ICE. Yeah, thrice.
I mean, listen.
What would you do to see me out there?
Well, I'm going to be in Europe at that time of year. But
are
listen,
you going to Europe this year?
I'm going to Europe. But listen, we will send a camera guy with you.
Well, 100%.
Kyle, Princey, whoever it's got to be, we will send a camera guy with you. And it will be must-see content. I mean, as your business partner in content, I think it's a no-brainer. You got to do it.
I got to start skating. Will you come skate with me and get warmed up?
I mean, maybe if you really need a guy.
Yeah.
I'll pass to you. I'm not going to do the drills.
Who are we putting net? Binger? Where's Binger?
Binger sent me this thing of, it's like football and ice. Out of nowhere.
I'm in
Mexico City and I see Bing Banta come across my thing. I'm like, how fucking drunk am I? What's Binger saying? And I come up and see these guys play ice football, which I sent to Longer. I was like, Longer, you seen this stuff? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, they're running on ice.
Running on ice playing football.
That's how you blow your ACL right there.
Big time. I just want to know how far down the depth chart you were for Fierzy there.
I don't know. I know. I told him I'm ready. Fierzy, if you're watching this, I'm going to get you this clip. I'm coming, bud.
Oh,
I'm fucking feeling good.
God, I hope it happens. Cody Hodgson, way to inspire the up dog. We got another comeback coming at you here at Missing Curfew. Listen, this is from a curfew listener. I'm sorry, fella. I thought I screenshotted the X post that you wanted, but this is from I don't know if it's a Jets fan, but he's a Missing Curfew fan. He wants to put the Winnipeg Jets on the milk carton, the attendance, the fans in Winnipeg. Once again, the owners come out, Mark Chipman, and said the Jets' future is in jeopardy. Lowest NHL attendance in the league, 13,000. Listen, Ups, I don't know. Listen, I'm a single guy that was lucky enough to play in the NHL, and you know, I don't have kids. I don't know what it's like right now for people in Canada. If you just can't afford to go to a game, you can't afford to go to a game. And maybe that's what it is, and if that's what it is, then who am I to sit here and say, get out there and support this team? But it would just be a shame to see this team leave town again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to just blame Trudeau for this. I'm just going to say it's all on him.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, no, let's just start there. I don't think we need to look any further. Hockey is a national sport. Let's get our kids at the games. Let's figure out how to, create. You're going to do the carbon tax on everyone up there. Give them some tokens to these games,
Yeah.
Government help bring young kids, help bring families to these hockey games to celebrate being a Canadian, celebrate your hometown team, battle against other teams. I don't know. Watch the favorite, without the Winnipeg Jets, you have you have all the way from Alberta to Ontario with no fucking NHL team in Canada. That's a sin.
Yeah.
That's a sin to me. I think you have too many people in that area that won't be able to drive 4 or 5 hours, which they probably do 3-4 times a year, to take their kids to watch an NHL hockey game. And to me, that's sad. And we should try to collectively, make this a state. Let's start a GoFundMe page. Keep them there.
Yeah. And
sad.
It's got to be, because this is the second time we've talked about it. We talked about it with Tim Mucciolotti when we had him on earlier in the year. And I put the Jets on the milk carton at the start of the year when they weren't playing well. They got a good team. Things are going well. We know how much people love hockey in Winnipeg. So it can't be that they just don't want to go to the game. Like, there's obviously a bigger problem here, right?
Yeah.
And then I look at my beautiful sister and my two great nephews, and I know Toronto's a different animal than Winnipeg, but she couldn't afford to take them to a hockey game, right? Maybe it's just people can't afford to go to these games, which, like you said, is sad, sad news. But listen, if you can support that team in Winnipeg, get out there, support them. They're playing well. Bonesy's got them going. That was the milk carton up, dog. It's rumor mill time here. I saw a little rumor mill floating around on Instagram. Matt Dumba to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Up, dog, I said this in the offseason. I thought he would be a great signing there. They need a right-handed shot defenseman to play with Morgan Riley, and Matt Dumba is the guy. So Brad Tree Living fella, if you can go out and get this guy, I think you should make every opportunity you can. Up, dog, the Leafs have won 7 straight.
Whew.
Were we wrong about this team, bud? Did we write them off too soon?
I'll tell you what they're riding. They went on a road trip. They got a ton of goals from Austin Matthews. They got Marner's playing great hockey right now. If you watch him play, he's playing great. You got Bertuzzi that's back on track, scoring goals, picking up the slack. Secondary scoring's there. You're right. The defensive situation, they need big. They need tough. They need someone that's going to fucking battle their ass off in the playoffs and be like a presence.
So would you rather have Chris Tanev than Ryan Dumba?
Yeah, I would. I would just for size. Now Dumba plays a hard game, but I've never quite liked Dumba as a player. I don't like his demeanor. I think his, does he have too much personality to go to Toronto and kind of fit into that group? I don't know. To me, that's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Would Gudas be a steal if they could ever get that type of need that type of
player. I don't think they want the term on Gudas.
They can't, but they need does Tanev play physical enough? Or do you just go out and hunt for who do we have on the trade tracker here?
Listen, I was talking to a scout in the NHL,
yeah,
and he said that Chris Tanev is on the top of every team's list.
Yeah.
The way he blocks shots. I had an argument with this guy about his ability to move the puck, and since I've watched the Flames play more, they've been costing me money, by the way. Weegsy, mm-hmm. Baby. He can make a nice play. Chris Tanev can make a nice little bump to the middle. He can make a nice little D-to-D. There's just a lot of miles on him, man. He's a warrior, and I guess that's what the Leafs need. So for me, that's a good fit. No term next year. I know what you're saying about Dumba, but I just think if you could put him with Morgan Riley, the way they could go D-to-D underneath, use each other, I do think Chris Tanev's another good fit there. And a kid that we got down here, Princey fired down, Nick Seeler, who I don't think I could see Jonesy or Danny B trading this guy. And the Flyers are not going away, buddy. The Flyers are hanging tough, so I don't know if they're going to get him. But I like Dumba, man. I would go out and get him, up, dog. I think him and Morgan Riley would be a great D pair.
You watch the Ducks. What about the Ilya Lyubushkin?
Yeah. He's a nice
bigger guy.
He's a big reason.
He can play,
he
right?
He plays hard.
Younger for a younger kid.
Yeah, he plays
Sean
hard.
Walker, the Flyers. I read his name.
I don't love that guy's game. No disrespect.
No.
I don't love it.
And then what about this kid from Dallas, Ferraro? Is he big enough?
Mario San Jose?
Ferraro? Yeah. What did I say, Dallas?
Yeah. Mario Ferraro is his name. Good kid. I got to do some interviews with him on Cooley's show. Plays hard.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the best feet in the game. But listen, he's been on a bad team for so long, it's hard to judge, right? I've been on bad teams. I like to think I wasn't you know, the only reason why we're shit, right? Everyone else around you is not great. So no, maybe exactly. A new scenery for him.
Yeah.
I just think the Leafs, if Brad wanted to call me into his office or get on a Zoom link and said, Obes, what do you think? I would say you need to get a right-handed defenseman, not a fucking left-handed defenseman. They need a right-handed D-man.
Yeah.
Like that. That's all I would say.
You're right.
So rumor mill, hey, the trade deadline's sneaking up on us here, Updog.
I think 10 days?
March 8th or something.
10 days away.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Jeez.
We should probably know that, but. When you're out of the league, you don't give a fuck about the trade deadline. Yeah. But when you're in the league,
I'll let all you guys stress it out.
When you're in the league, you're looking at your phone being like, God, we got a good team. Don't want to get traded here. Last but not least, Updog, around the National League here. Listen, this will bring a little twinkle to your eye. The Battle of Alberta.
Woo!
I'm at the fights in Mexico City, and I got Lupul texting me. He's like, I'm watching the Battle of Alberta. I'm thinking, what are you doing sitting at home on a Saturday night watching the Battle of Alberta? Which is, I love it, but why? He said it was, I mean, the play, listen, the hit that Coleman put on McDavid, first of all, Connor, way to take the hit to make the play. That's the hardest I think I've ever seen McDavid get hit.
Yeah.
Now, Princey said Lucic got him in the playoffs a couple years ago. I don't remember that. But, dude, Coleman leveled him. McDavid made the play. Janmark went after Coleman. Weegsy baby was in there after Kane. There were scrums after every whistle. That's the Battle of Alberta. I love ups.
You're damn right. But buddy, I've been watching these since I was a kid. For me, it's nice to see Calgary step up and just bring on a game Saturday night. Obviously, everything's in the Oilers' favor. They're playing the best hockey they've played in years. They're getting contributions from everybody. Their goaltending, I mean, it's been backup goalie and their fucking goalie has been unreal. But for me, you're just, you know, Calgary, what are you doing? We got to find a way to get back in this game. But game was plus 180 for Calgary. And
I know, I took the Oilers.
You took the oil, did you?
Yeah. The Flames have been costing me cheddar, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I'm officially cold.
So Hanifin, two goals. Is he not getting moved?
Hanifin is getting moved.
He is.
Yeah, they offered him like a nice ticket. And he said, listen,
he's the lefty defenseman that you just don't need, right?
The Leafs don't need another lefty.
No, but I think it's, I think anytime Calgary Edmonton on a Saturday night game gets physical, it's must-see TV, babe. Must-see.
Listen, Calgary's only 5 points out behind Fact Daddy and the Nashville Predators. Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, Tom Riley's worried that they're going to miss the playoffs. I mean, they are at 71 points. I don't know. Calgary's such a hard team to – like Connie's got to be up there pulling his hair out, being like, are we good? Are we not good? They'll go in and beat teams they should, and then they'll lose at home against the San Jose Sharks. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. They play down, I guess, to their competition, Updog, is what I'm saying?
No, they do. They do. But just highlighting Noah Hanifin, 7 shots on net the other night, 25 minutes, and that's when you know. That's when you know you play 25 minutes, you're just getting showcased for your old trade bait.
Yeah, they're going to trade him.
Yeah. Good player.
Yeah.
Good player.
You know what? I've watched a lot of Oilers games. I need more out of Evander Kane. His feet look like they're getting slower. I don't know. Like, I guess,
yeah.
I don't know.
He could be battling something.
Maybe.
But his game is the best when he's just being an asshole out there. Hitting guys and he's not a playmaker. He's mostly just like getting in the areas to get shots on net and like going to the net and staying there. And then, you know, if he does get a chance to play with Connor Leon, that's like, you know, then he really puts the puck in the back of the net. I mean, look at what Hyman's doing. Hyman's going to get 60 damn goals.
I mean, listen, your clip last week was unbelievable about going to the net, Connor Brown going to the net. Hyman, that's all he does. I mean, there's no secret to scoring goals, especially now, Updog. You're not going to get cross-checked. You're not going to do anything. I just have noticed with Kane, and you're a winger, you tell me this, it can't be easy. Like, he get the puck on the wall, plays that he used to make, these little bumps and get it out or get the feet moving. Like, he's just fumble-fucking them and turning them over in the middle. Like, what is that like for a winger? Like, is that just confidence or fighting the... Because the last couple games I've seen where the Oilers... Listen, they've only won... They won last night. They won me a little money. They've won 5 games coming out of the All-Star break. Previously, they won 16 straight. And I've watched them play a lot. And to me, Kane, he's got to get going. They're not going to win a Stanley Cup unless he gets going. I'm sure playoff time, he'll crank it ups. But what's that like for a winger when you're fighting the puck on the wall, I guess?
Listen, no, it's tricky, but... I would say if you're a guy that plays 15 minutes a night, you're going to get the touches that you got to kind of sort out. You got to figure it out at some point. You know, if you're playing your off wing and pucks are bouncing off your backhand, you know, open up and show your forehand. Make sure like you're, you know, stopping pucks and not trying to one touch them everywhere.
put the pucks in areas of the rink that your teammates can go help you get pucks back. But to me, it just comes down to a battle effort. Like when you go in, you stick on puck with all these kids do nowadays, you take out a body, and then you beat that guy back to the net and you're going to get chances. That's kind of like dumbing down hockey when, you know, things are bouncing around and things aren't working out. Now, you know, follow their lead. Follow, like, try to get out there on a shift where Connor's staying out for 2 minutes and then just do something simple. Get him the puck and open up.
I mean, they played the Bruins last week, and Kane had a couple turnovers in the third and then an overtime.
You can't just do the turnovers. Jesus. Like, keep things simple.
Come on.
If Evander Kane's carrying the puck up the ice and he's getting it behind their D, to me, he's doing more than he ever would do trying to make one good play out of three different plays.
Yeah.
They're like, don't. You're not a playmaker. He's always been a shooter. You know, I remember Ryan O'Reilly back in the day. So I'm like, how is this Evander Kane? Like, what's he like to play with? And then, you know, is he good out there? And he'd be like, well, he has blinders on, but he shoots pucks from everywhere. But he will, you know, he's efficient. He's going to score fucking goals. He's a big body and he's got a great talent.
Yeah, they need him to get going a little bit. Hey, by the way, how good is Worm Corey Perry been in Oilers? I mean, he's been great. Just
what team wouldn't want Corey Perry on their team?
Yeah,
for 700 grand.
No kidding,
right?
No kidding. Connor Brown had a nice apple last night. Nice.
But they
nice
tried little... to feed him, and with their goalie pulled so many times.
I bet.
Well, and one fell off his stick, and then McLeod fucking didn't find him. He had a wide open chance to hit me, and the fans are all like, trying to help him out. Yeah. I just can't believe it. My brother, last night, we were watching the game together over FaceTime, and he's like, there's an astronomical number of shifts that they looked at for this kid before the last time he scored.
Connor Brown?
It's like really bad.
No, I don't.
You can't be in the NHL and have that happen. Like, eventually you're going to get sent down.
He's not going anywhere, I don't think.
But you got to score. You got to find a way to get a goal.
Yeah, but still, if I'm McDavid, like, let's say, you know, hypothetically, it's you, and they're like, hey, we're setting up. I'm like, no, you're not.
No, it's like when Chase
gets
sent down and
he'll get one of the playoffs for us.
You're not going anywhere, right? You're my buddy. You're not going anywhere.
A great little dish to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins last night.
Great dish.
I mean, they got to get him one. Because the longer.
Why isn't he starting on the power play next game just to get a goal?
Well, because you're not taking Hyman away from Hyman.
Just let Hyman. Just have a seat, Hyman. You got 38 goals, Hyman.
Zach, listen. No. We're going to bump you to the second unit here.
Yeah, we just need to get Connor one. It'll take one shift, maybe two power plays.
No, this is what they need. They need a blowout, right? Check their schedule. Who they got coming up? They need a blowout. And then once they're up like 4 or 5-0, you're like, hey, Connor, go out there with McDavid and Draisaitl, and we're going to get you one here. But they got to get this kid one before playoffs.
I would love to play on one power play with Draisaitl and McDavid. Are you nuts? Anyone could just open up their stick and just, you're going to rip fucking 4 or 5 one-timers every shift.
Did you see the high tip he had last night, Draisaitl? It was so nasty. Bouchard walked the middle and he just kind of dink.
I know, but how about
such a sick tip.
He comes up the ice and he's so fast that looks like he's not. But
29?
He's blocking.
Oh,
he's basically holding off a guy. He's kicking it up to his feet. He's got one hand on a stick. He went in with one hand and almost had a one-hand top shelf. It was like, guy's a beast.
I mean, I
would be after that guy if I was, when he's a free agent, I would be firing the kitchen.
Oh, they're going to. No, every team's going to. Listen, I watched the play Friday night at home against Mini, and that Gustafson absolutely was kicking. But 97, I mean, it was just insane what he was doing with the puck. Like, just human breakout, just coming in, stop it up, slide it back over here. I'm like I'm watching drinking nice tequila, Billy. I'm like, look at, like, this is, I'm like, he's doing this against NHL players. Good NHL players.
Yeah.
Zuccarello, like Kirill Kaprizov, like legit guys. And he is just coming in and just.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's wild.
I still don't think they're going to win. I'm sorry, Oilers fans. I know you fellas up there. Without you, there's no Mystic Curfew. But I Darnell Nurse, I mean, his hockey IQ, it's going to cost him.
I'll tell you what, his hockey IQ would be better.
Like, tell him not to fuck his reads.
I know, but his hockey IQ would be better if he was. If he was given shit for some of the plays he makes, but there's no like accountability. Who else do they have?
Bouchard, Nurse.
It's hard to watch. Kulak,
Darnay.
How hard is it to pass the puck like flat when you're out there for 25 minutes?
And yeah,
you're a D. That's
you're right about that.
It's not flat ever.
No. See, for me, when I watch him as a defenseman, you probably don't notice because you're like some of his reads that he does where he doesn't challenge and he'll slide or he'll go down and you're like, just go out there and stick on puck in front of him. Like, what are you doing laying down? Like, you know, and just some reads where he'll jump up and you're like, just hold there. Just hold. Hold your dots.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And
we
for them,
we should get into coaching.
Just hold your dots. You got the best fucking forwards in the league. If Darnell Nurse ever went outside the dots, I would be like, stop. Stop. Just hold until your back checkers come and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because McDavid's going to steal the puck off and Dreisaitl's going to steal the puck off.
That's true.
Like, his reads are just... Anyways, I can't wait for playoff hockey. Last but not least, Valerie Nichushkin is back skating with the Avalanche. I love this kid's game. The Avs need him. Uppy, the Avalanche are not where I thought they would be right now. Their road game is... I'm concerned about the road game. They need this big boy in the lineup. I'm glad he's back. Hopefully he can keep the train on the tracks, but he's big for the Avs, but I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
They're not as good as I thought they were going to be.
I mean, they're still 35-19-5, third in the Central, but they could use this guy back. You're right. They were buzzing when he was in there. He's a big
buzz. Buzzing.
He adds the depth that they need, and just never count him out.
But listen, I thought they would be like, I thought they were going to win the President's Trophy. I thought they were going to be that good.
You took them to win the Cup too, right?
I did.
And
I
Vegas?
Did. Like right now, they'd have to play Winnipeg in the first round and go into the peg. Like to me, that's like, hey. Yeah. Anyways, Kiefer, get him going. Updog, welcome back. Kyle Morgan, Hall Pass Media, thank you very much. Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping. No run in its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Updog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.